There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
Thank you to our subscribers and members of our listening audience.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined instead by Nasser Hamid. Nasser will be bringing in another fantastic interview. This is podcast number 285, June 21st, 2008. Nass?
This edition of F1 Weekly Podcast is brought to you by Yahoo Ads. From Bernie's household appliances to Super Aguri's finances. Click on them. You know you want to.
Thank you, Nass. And of course, we thank Yahoo Ads.
Okay, this conversation took place in Cologne, Germany in April with, now some mystery around this, Richard Bright, the music man. Is he a listener of F1 Weekly or is he a forum faithful?
I think he's a spy.
Really?
Exactly. For NASCAR.
For Stasi?
Yeah.
No, I would like to seriously thank him for taking the time to come and hook up with me on an evening when I was there and got together and grabbed a bite. It was fun. And so I want to thank Richard Bright for taking the time to come and have dinner with me and sit down and talk motor racing. And obviously he's been following much longer than I've been following, and I've been following since 1973. And hopefully, you know, when I get a chance to go Europa or some other place next time, we'll hook up with more listeners and bring their stories. So thank you. And hopefully, if he's not a listener, he will listen to this and then become a regular listener. Thank you. Cheerios.
Richard, thanks for joining F1Weekly.com.
Okay, folks, I'm here in Cologne, Germany, with a gentleman, one of our listeners, who is supposed to be dancing into me, but has danced all the way here to my hotel to meet me, and I see a Union Jack on his shirt here, so he must be. Let's hear it from him.
Richard H. Bright.
Also known as the Music Man.
Yeah, sometimes.
First of all, thank you for coming, and how are you, and your thoughts on the season so far, sir?
Actually, I thought it was going to be a bit more interesting than it has been so far. But otherwise, yeah, not bad. Not bad. Early days yet.
Who do you think is going to win the championship this year?
Being a Brit, of course, I suppose I have to support Lewis Hamilton in this respect. I hope he does it this year, yes.
What about DC and Jenson Button?
Well, DC is one of my favourite drivers. He's probably not the best on the grid, but he's one of my favourites. Jenson Button's become a bit of a disappointment for me. I did expect big things from him, which haven't materialised yet, which is a shame.
Now, let me ask you a question. A lot of people, even on our forum, they belong to what I call the Hamilton Haters Club, yeah. That he got lucky, was in the best car. What is your assessment?
Well, it's one simple word. He's brilliant, as far as I'm concerned. I've seen him since the early 90s when he was racing as a little boy in karts, and he was brilliant then. And tell you the truth, there's nobody in any of the series that he's done that could hold a match to him, really.
Did you watch him quite a bit in karting?
I only managed to watch a couple of races in karting, but when he got to Formula 3, I was watching as many races as I could there. And then, of course, GP2, managed to watch a complete season of him there as well. And that's when I thought, oh, he's going to be good when he gets to Formula One.
You know, I'm thinking about this. DC also had a championship-winning car, but it was Mika Hakkinen who won the championship. So I have to agree with you that Lewis Hamilton, like him or not, is a tremendous race car driver. And I think that the success he had, whether he was a lucky punk or Ron's love child or whatever you want to call him,
I feel that success he had in his first season, that success will not be enjoyed by 95% of the drivers throughout their entire career, let alone 1 year. So I think he's a great driver, and I wish him all the best. Okay, moving on. You're from jolly good England. Tell us what part of England you're from and your earliest memories of motor racing.
Yeah, I was born in Bury St Edmunds in deepest Suffolk, so nice East Anglian town that. My earliest recollections of Formula One racing were back in the very early 60s when I used to hear the commentary sometimes on the radio, and my biggest highlight would be if we went to the cinema, we'd actually see it in colour, because Pathé News, which I'm sure some of you have heard of, would show sporting events and things like this, and one of the things that came up was Formula One racing, and that really got the old blood stirring.
Any particular races or events or drivers that stand out from the 60s, which was the era you're talking about?
Well, Jim Clark, of course, will always be my greatest hero ever, as far as I'm concerned. But, of course, there were loads of other drivers. And being a small boy and a Brit as well, you tended to follow, obviously, your national drivers, which there were a lot in those days, including Stirling Moss, Graham Hill, Jim Clark, and then later on, of course, Jackie Stewart. So there was loads to follow.
Yeah, you know, Britain has produced more racing world champions than any other nation. Why is the culture of motor racing so popular? I mean, I'll give you an example. Eddie Cheever took part recently in one of the GP Masters, and he made it on the podium, and that was the first thing he said, you know, the passionate British people have for motor racing. I was at the first ever A1GP race at Brands Hatch, 2005. Mm-hmm. 60,000 people showed up. Why is there such a huge interest in motor racing in England?
I think a lot of it...
And the UK.
Yeah, I think a lot of it's to do with our unique roads, to tell you the truth. I mean, living over here in Germany, we just don't have the roads like you do in England, where you can go down a back road somewhere and know that you're not going to see anything else and just give it some willy and really put the boot down. And I think a lot of people have started like that, just racing around back roads and enjoying it and then transferring this ability onto racetracks.
And do you normally go to races? What tracks have you been to? I mean, tell us about your escapades to motorsport events, please.
Well, the only race I've ever managed to go to live was 2004 at Monza. And the first time in 50 years, it just poured down with rain. We were soaking wet. So it was a bit miserable to start with, even though it did dry up later. And we had quite an entertaining race that day.
And a Brit was leading for a while.
He was for a while, yes. Good old Jensen. I thought, yes, I'm going to see some history here, but no, the Schumachers won again.
What do you think of Schumacher? You're living in Germany. You have to say a few good things about him.
Yes, you do, don't you? Otherwise, you're likely to get hung, strung and quartered here. No, actually, I remember Schumacher back in 1990 was the first time I'd ever seen him when he was racing for Mercedes alongside Frentzen and Wendlinger in a Mercedes Class C team. And I thought then, this guy's got quite a bit of talent. And then when he did eventually hit Formula One the next year, I thought, yes, this guy is probably going to be Germany's very first German world champion. But what I didn't realise was that him, being a German, of course, had to kick the arse out of it and win it 7 times.
What made you think he was going to be world champion?
Just the way he drove. I mean, to jump into a Jordan and qualify that far forward, I think it was 6th, wasn't it, on the grid, in a car that, I think it was even its debut season, wasn't it, with a 7-up Jordan. And I thought, whew, well, if he can do that, he could do very well with a good team.
Yeah, that was my thought when I heard early morning that Michael Schumacher qualified. I said, oh, wait a minute. 7-up Jordan is qualifying 6th or 7th. That just told me. And to this day, you know, that performance, strictly personally speaking, is the best ever Michael Schumacher performance ever for me. Mm. Because it was, you know, winning in the best car, I mean, a lot of people can do that.
Yeah.
Even Hamilton, haha. But that was incredible performance, I must say.
Yeah.
Okay, so what else have you done in terms of motorsports?
Me personally? I've done a bit of, I did a bit of rallying actually, many, many years ago. Not very successfully. Did a bit of karting as well. Won a few cups there, but it was only sort of amateur things. Still felt good, though, being on the top step of the podium. That's about it, really.
Now, you've been following... I've been following since '70, and sport has changed a lot, and you've been since the '60s. What era of motor racing, when you look back or read a book or watch a DVD, as we were discussing, that is special to you, both in terms of drivers and cars and technology?
Whew. Well, if I was going to judge things on how they look, I think the best years were the '60s. The cars were fantastic in the '60s. The '70s, I thought the cars were ugly. The '80s, they started to look sort of okay. And I think the '90s had some very pretty cars, and now they've gone all ugly again.
What about the drivers? I mean, you mentioned Jim Clark was your favorite.
Yeah.
Any other, you know, we've seen a lot of, you're talking about characters. I understand your hero is Eddie Irvine also.
Yes. Eddie Irvine always used to make me laugh. Because he was just Eddie, wasn't he? You know, I mean, he wasn't the most brilliant driver in the world, but I really loved him for the way he put himself about, you know. He didn't give a damn what he said or to who too.
Yeah, some people, you know, return the favor also. You were telling me about this something in Brazil he was doing.
Yes. I remember watching on a German report where Ferrari were being shown around one of these samba schools that they have in Brazil, and the difference between Eddie Irvine and Schumacher was very clear. Eddie Irvine, oh, great, look at these women, yeah, and he was putting his arm around them and giving them kisses, and Schumacher was just being very polite, but... a bit standoffish, you know, so Eddie was in his element.
Absolutely. But, you know, I have to give him credit for being probably the real honest or only honest racing driver. Once upon a time, he was asked, when they were teammates, you know, Schumacher and Irvine, he was asked, what will it take to beat Schumacher? And he goes, he has to stop going so bloody fast. So at least he's honest. You were telling me that in Germany you can watch Formula One on two channels. Can you tell us what they are and what the differences are and what is your choice?
Yeah, sure. You've got two choices. You can have RTL television, which is obviously for free and on the satellite, or you can have Premier TV, which is the one I recommend. Okay, you have to pay for it, but you do get complete coverage of the Formula One weekend from very first practice right the way through, obviously, to the race and podium and the final press conference without any interruptions from adverts or anything like this. So it's 100% coverage, including an option of, you know, swapping over from the actual race itself to the cockpit channel and all this. And you can watch it from various different angles.
And you were telling me that in the press conference, whenever Kimi Raikkonen or whoever is talking, they translate, so the translator's job for Kimi Raikkonen is very easy.
It is, he doesn't say a lot. In fact, we often sit there looking at him and thinking, is that a ventriloquist dummy? Is he perhaps pretending to be Massa? Is he, you know, and Massa's working him at the back or whatever? Because he doesn't open his mouth a lot, as you've probably noticed anyway.
Last year we had the tattoo, now we have a new hairstyle. Do you like the new Kimi hairdo?
Yes, of course, it's... same as mine.
Next thing, I think he's going to get a earring from Christian Klein.
I don't know about that one.
Do you follow other ladder series like GP2, F3, British F3, or even GP or anything?
I like to try and follow the GP2. I haven't managed it this season. I don't know why. I must have a look in the magazine and see what channel it's been broadcast on, but yes, I do like to watch the feeder series, I suppose you could call them.
What about American racing scene, Le Mans, not Le Mans, the American Le Mans, Indy cars, and of course, Clark Rogers' favorite, Le NASCAR.
Le NASCAR. No, it's too boring for me. That's, I mean, they do show it on Premier. They do actually quite a good coverage of American motor racing, but I don't watch it. I mean, I did watch a couple of laps of NASCAR, and I thought, oh, I fell asleep, yeah. And IndyCars isn't bad.
Good thing about NASCAR, you can fall asleep for 3 hours and still catch half of the race.
Yeah, it all seems to happen in the last lap, doesn't it?
Okay, now what's going on in the world of music? You're quite a music man. Your compositions, your, you know, arrangements.
Yeah. It's going very, very slowly. So what I really need is somebody to go out there and start buying them and put my name about. And I was even hoping that Schumacher would sue me. At least that would give me some publicity. But
what did you do to him?
Well, I composed this song for him, which wasn't really a composition. It was a rearrangement, or my rearrangement, of the German national anthem, and released it on an EP. I sent him a copy, thinking, now let's get some sort of reaction. Nothing. So I thought, well, silence must mean he's got nothing against it. So I released it, and it's available on iTunes, folk.
So where can somebody listen to your music?
Well, I've got three MySpace profiles, and I've got one that I just dedicate purely to F1 music. So you can click on that and listen to about six tunes I've put up there. Other than that, of course, you can find any examples on iTunes. I've got music there as well. And I've also got a profile on SoundClick, which I've got most of my tunes there. But if you just want music to do with Formula One, then just click onto my F1 music for F1 Music by Richard H. Bright. That's it. That's the name of the profile. So,
okay. Talking of messages, how about our messages to your fellow listeners, both in English and in German, because you're fluent in German?
I've got one for TD, I think. Put some jeans on, man, and just don't be a wimp.
Very good.
German, yeah. Are there any other Germans on the forum?
I don't know, but we do have listeners in Deutschland, über alles, that's for sure.
Oh, right.
We better do this, what I told Dr. Mario Tyson, and he said a few things in German language. I know we do. We have received emails.
Yeah. Ich hoffe, dass, wenn ihr das hört, dass viele Leute von euch auf iTunes gehen und kaufen. Mach mich reich, bitte. Okay.
Dankeschön. Wiedersehen.
Bye-bye. Auf Wiedersehen.
This is Desiree for F1Weekly.com, thanking you, the subscribers and members of our listening audience, for listening to our podcast, recording and commenting on Formula One, the highest echelon of motorsport, a blend of technology, tradition, glamour, and guts, all wrapped up in a high-speed package. That's F1Weekly.com for all your Formula One needs.